You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we'll be discussing parenting in reverse.
Dr. Ken, I want to know what you mean by parenting in reverse.
Yeah, this was Explain my thing, wasn't it? Yeah,
yes, this is your it idea.
Okay. At the risk of going on a short rant, which you guys hold me back, it occurs to me that when we're working on planned emancipation, which is the, you know, the really, when you do it right, and so many parents are doing a great job with this, you're really very straightforward that we are stepping out of this. This thing is yours. This area of your life is up to you. But we don't talk that much about what is the best kind of parenting before that, that really emphasizes and makes planned emancipation really work. And that kind of parenting that works best 12 and under is parenting that is consistent. It's parenting that basically teaches, especially young children, self-control and how to interact with others. And what concerns me is a growing almost philosophy of parenting that is even among Christian parents that says that really you want to be free with young children, let them be themselves, tell the waiter that my kid should be allowed to run around the restaurant because he has an impulsivity, blah, 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 that means that those parents will actually do it backward. They'll start parenting with lots of let their kid do whatever. And then when they get to adolescence, suddenly they start getting scared and shutting everything down. And it's occurred to me that there's an increasing number of families that are what I call parenting in reverse. You're actually letting things go easy when they're young. And then you turn around and start shutting things down when they get older. And parents wonder why my kid is not ready to go, why we have a lot of conflict. So that's what I mean by parenting in reverse. It's this growing philosophy that little kids do best if they are left to flourish without too much control or discipline. And that really undercuts anything you might do if you're going to really try to have effective planned emancipation. Kind of a rant, isn't it? It's a little much.
No, but it does make me think back to that episode we did when we talked about babies and our children's demeanor, even from the moment that they're born.
What kind of temperament, right?
Yeah, their temperament. I saw this funny meme recently, and it said, gentle parenting can happen when parents have gentle children, but the rest of us have to square up.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because I think whenever you have a child with a certain temperament, there's no gentle parenting. But I do think it's interesting that if you have a child with an easy temperament, you can easily parent them when they're little and give them all of these freedoms. But at some point, those children become teenagers that want freedoms as a young adult. And how do you handle that? Because you always kind of let them do what they want. And then, you know, to an extent, because they've been easy to parent and now they're teenagers.
Yeah.
And you're kind of shutting things down and you're like, excuse me, no, I don't think so. You're not doing that. And then things kind of just hit the fan.
Right.
This is a great topic to cover too, because I know we have some listeners who have kindly put wonderful reviews on the podcast and that sort of thing that say, I actually have younger children, but I'm listening to this thinking ahead about how I want to have a relationship with my teenagers right. when they're that age. So when you're looking at kids who are 9, 10, 11, 12, you still have a little time to make some course corrections so that planned emancipation really is most effective. And I think a lot of us also have maybe our first as a teenager, but we have younger children in the home that we're still parenting and we're thinking, what do I do? How do I change the way I'm parenting these younger kids so that planned emancipation is really the best way to go when they become teenagers?
Yeah. And a lot of those parents, you know, it's just going well. Like when it's really powerful, you have a parent that has established authority and your kids know that you are the authority. And this authority has now sat me down at 13 and said, okay, you are now being trained on to be one of us. You're no longer where you were just a week ago at 12. We're beginning a new process. It's very powerful, especially for what most people think is normal teenage behavior. We call that, you know, teenage rebellion. And, you know, you listen, look at the book, listen to a lot of the episodes we talk about all the time. That's not normal at all. That was, invented by post-industrial Western society, where we don't let 13 and up have any kind of freedom. So, but you think of the power if you have established yourself as a strong authority, that's the voice telling me you're now part of us. So I really want to encourage parents that I have real concerns about a kind of parenting style. And Ashley, you mentioned memes. I think a lot of this is just kind of the impression you get when you look at things on the internet. And there's just so much information from people that I, you know, as a psychologist, I'm looking going, wait, who are you? You're telling us what your oldest is five. What do you know? You haven't done this yet. But there's been an increasing amount of influence by the philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau, which was actually a French philosopher in the 19th century, that had this, you know, children are born with an unsullied spirit. They are pure when they're born. And this has had an amazing influence over time. And of course, Rousseau is a great example of someone that if he had a blog on the internet, you should say, wait, who are you to be telling us about children? Five of his children were sent to orphanages. He just, oh, wow. You know, like he was a terrible parent, but he was a good writer, you know? And so, but it's influenced a whole bunch of stuff. We've had Jane Goodall. Do you remember her that was doing the research on gorillas?
Chimpanzees.
She lived or among gorillas. Them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't discovered till years later. She had actually edited out some of the episodes that she saw with the gorillas because gorillas are capable of murdering each other. And she really kind of didn't want to bring that little thing out. It's weird how we have fallen in love with the idea that humans and other creatures are essentially kind of innocent and high moral, creatures, unless culture brings them down. And I know the Christian listeners are going, well, wait a minute, that's what the Bible says. The man is born sinful. But even Christian parents can be very influenced by the idea that it's actually culture and society that makes people bad. But if you're left to yourself, you're pure. That's not true. People, children will hit each other without watching someone else do it. They just do it. It is not as learned a behavior as you think. They're aggressive. You watched a toddler that can barely walk toddle up and take something from another toddler that is not hers. And that's just what you do. They have to be trained to be first self-control, and secondly, using that self-control to be socialized so that they can interact with other children. So, that kind of thing is what I'm most concerned about, is that where you can have a kid that has been with maybe a gentle temperament. And so they've not been given freedom because they basically have just not needed a whole bunch of structure, but they've given lots of just free, do whatever you want time that doesn't teach them any kind of socializing or self-control. Then you sit down with a freedoms list and that kid is like, yeah, okay, whatever. I've already got my, two TVs in my room and pretty much do whatever I'm kind of wanting. So the freedom doesn't have any real sense of impact because there's no real pattern here of growing up, going from under parental structure and control to now under your own self-control. So that's what's most important, I think, about parenting is to, especially parents that are feeding the mouth parents, I think they need to know that those same parents should be very comfortable with structuring and disciplining and teaching your 12 and under kids, giving them the kind of discipline that helps them to be part of the social order that you're now going to be releasing them to.
Well, as we were raising our kids, I remember my husband and I talking a lot about how we wanted to raise kids that we actually enjoyed being around, or that we eventually would want to be our best friends. And some of their intolerable behaviors,
right?
You know, either irritating or selfish behaviors or demanding, that sort of thing, where they were inconsiderate of everyone around them. I thought, oh man, I got to come down on this now because I really want people I enjoy being around someday.
Well, that's so true. So parents will talk about some of their different, they'll ask me, what is my, you know, what do I recommend? I'm often telling parents, don't start the Feeding the Mouth book yet. Your kid is eight, you know, like don't mm-hmm. do that. Well, then what book? And so we've talked about different resources before, but probably if there's a book that has my favorite chapter about raising children, it's Jordan Peterson's book called 12 Rules for Life. Now, for those listening, Jordan Peterson is not a Christian. He's a psychologist, Canadian, brilliant, and just really summarizes data very well, tries to stick with what we really have seen and observed about human behavior. So in this book, 12 Rules for Life, which was a worldwide bestseller, chapter 5 is probably my favorite. And the title of chapter 5 is, do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. And he goes on with a very dense chapter about, expands out to, you know, really starting by age 4, children definitely need to have and be required to have the kind of self-control that they can sit and be where they, you know, basically seen and not heard, sort of, when they need to be seen and not heard. And American mm-hmm. parents are like, that seems so mean. Well, what ends up happening is not just that your kid is, you know, kind of a handful for you. If you're not liking them and you really can't handle them, you're sort of condemning this child to a lifetime of other people not liking them, not really having connection with other people. And that's an almost systematic problem we're having with a number of our youth, that they maybe kind of can stay in by themselves, but they don't interact well with group. And parents often don't even think to really regularly and continually remind children, have you been considerate of your friend? That was not, think about that other person. What you wear to the store isn't just for your fun. It is also taking into consideration the people around you and doing, you know, the kind of thing that helps you to be liked by others. Because again, if you don't even like your own kid, then nobody else is going to like your kid. And that's going to be really tough for them as they get older.
That's an interesting concept. When you think about, you know, training, I feel like at home, my job as a parent is to train my kid to interact with those around them, right? And if they don't get that from you, if you don't tell them that that behavior is intolerable, yes, they're going to find it out the really hard way at school when their peers make fun of them or distance yeah. themselves or think, I don't want that kid to be in my class because he's, you know, obnoxious and rude and disruptive and everything else. They're going to find it out in a much harder way with their peers than they will with you at home correcting that behavior.
And that's a good example. When they are given a hard time at school, we now think most about, as a parent, then we need to go up there and get onto that school for having an environment that a child could be mean to another child, as if we're going to monitor every moment of all children's interaction. And not take into account that while children can be bullies, and that's not good, and we are beginning to really clamp down on that. On the other hand, there are some kids, this is the kids that I end up talking to rather a lot, that make themselves a target of being bullied. And it's mm-hmm. not inconceivable to really talk to your own child about and make sure that your child is doing their part in being considerate of others. Simply being your own special person in your class with your own self-expression and all this, you can't have a class full of those individual secret superstars that Everybody else needs to be part of my movie. Well, somebody has to be an extra in the movie that's just being the regular kid. And more, we don't have those kids. So I think that what ends up happening is that parents take the sort of ingest this philosophy that there are no bad kids, there's only bad parents. And if you're seeing some parent with kids that are going great, that says everything about the parent, that they must have just met this kid's needs and all that kind of stuff. What you end up doing is that you really don't know how to discipline, or you shy away from it. And too often, parents that I see are actually afraid of their children not liking them. And we've talked about this before. Here's what Jordan Peterson said. He says, modern parents are simply paralyzed by the fear that they will no longer be liked or even loved by their children if they chastise them for any reason. He said, every parent therefore needs to learn to tolerate the momentary anger or even hatred directed towards them by their children. That turns out to be one of the harder things, is that parents can be very frightened by, I must not be doing it right, because when I disciplined this child, they were so angry when I took away this privilege or whatever, that it sort of rocks their world. And again, that gets back to the assumption that I can and should have a good relationship and be liked by my children pretty much all the time. And that's impossible. I can't imagine having an upbringing where you were not at points really unhappy with your parents. So if you know, those kind of things, I think, paralyze parents. And our point today is that that ends up weakening feeding the mouth that bites you. By the time you are, if you're their buddy and we've negotiated everything and we compromise on everything you want, and this kid is pretty much, you know, lives kind of their own life, and then you sit there and announce, here, there's freedoms now, parents are sometimes a little surprised that, gee, that didn't seem to have much impact. Well, yeah, they've not really known them as freedoms, but they definitely have not had any sense of power that I'm now being introduced into the adult generation, because those are the ones that used to be the ones that controlled my life. It ends up being kind of reverse and very ineffective.
You know, I once heard that parenting is hard because parenting is hard, not because you're doing it wrong, because just sometimes it's hard, you know, it is hard to hold them accountable and hold them to a standard and let them face the consequences. But, you know, that's when the rubber meets the road, and that's when good parenting happens. And that's, is it exactly easy? Right. No, you know, I just had this conversation with my older ones last night. Like, hey, this isn't fun for me, but what kind of mom would I be if I didn't hold you accountable for this? Yeah. You know, you're going to do the time, and it stinks. And I hate this part of parenting, but I just love you too much to let it go by and to not address it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've lived long enough to know that it's harder for y'all's generation and younger parents because of the culture that we live in. Our culture is increasingly confused.
Yeah.
It's funny what things need to be talked about now that just weren't talked about that much because everyone just sort of took it for granted. I've said this many times, parenting wasn't even a word when I was a kid. Everyone just kind of did this thing. They definitely, I don't think my parents and their parents never were as conscious of, here's how I want to be so different from my parents. You know, you didn't feel this strong need to change from the previous generation. You just kept going. Now, that's not all good. Don't get me wrong. That definitely can carry on some bad characteristics from generation to generation. But we've lived long enough to see the edge of the other side of that, which is an over-examined, constant concern of, are we doing it right? And all this kind of stuff can lead to a great deal of over-self-consciousness and over-fear of, I mustn't be doing it right because my child is not happy with me all the time. And right now, she doesn't even like me. Like, yeah, that's kind of what it's going to be at points if you're doing it right. And especially if you are doing the part of teaching younger children self-control, and especially the ability to interact with other people in a group, serve other people, And then when you do turn around and sit down with your 13, your 14, your 15, those freedoms make a great deal of difference, because the power that you have shown over them is now very deliberately being given over. And it's amazing when that's done.
Mm-hmm. Man, raising little kids requires a lot of resilience and energy. And truthfully, with my youngest being 12, I'm thinking, whew, I'm glad that's behind me.
Yes.
It's good for the younger set, not for those of us who have had some time there. But I want to encourage parents who have younger children that I do agree with you, Dr. Ken, that when you see the fruit of it in their teenage years, that they respect your authority and what you say goes, and you know, that they respect the position that you have in their life. It's such a different game than handing kids freedom who have no respect for your authority. So
that's exactly right.
This conversation has been great for those of us who have kids below 13. And I think there are plenty of parents out there who are listening to this that will gain a lot of insight from today. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.